Welcome, everyone. This is the Outliers podcast for the NDL. You got Coach Sammy 33. That is me, joined by my partner, Mr. Coach Vic. How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. How everyone doing tonight?
Hopefully, everyone's doing well. We're getting close to the start of the season. Less than 48 hours away is Thursday night. We should be opening up after the game day show Saturday morning. Everyone's excited, so I have a few spots to fill, but the last season on College Football 25 as we gear up for CF 26.
Very exciting season, by the way.
The last season on a game is on a game cycle is always fun. People jockeying for position, some people going all out trying to win, some people trying to set themselves up for a high draft pick next season, and then you have that other group of people that are trying to find who will be good on next year's game, take a chance, and try to dynasty that team going over. So for this podcast, our little mission statement here. I know on game day, we try to share some love with the group of five. On other podcasts, RB and Jason, they try to share some love as well too. But let's be honest, a lot of the focus is always going to be on the power conferences because that's where the big boys are. Those are the majority of your playoff teams, the 11 of the 12 spots, and they're competing for a championship. Started this show because we wanted to give some love and give some focus, just really give a home to the group of five conferences. Let them know that they matter too, and also let them know that we're watching them. So we've got five conferences, a ton of teams, variety of talent across the board in terms of players and coaches. So we want to make sure that we're checking on the conference races, how things are going there. Recognize standout players every block over the course of the season. Hopefully be able to get a coach or two on and, kind of chat them up how their season's going, give them a chance to get their moment in the spotlight. And then we're going to talk about NDL related topics and stories, but it's only going to be in relation to the group of five. So even if it's something that is a major, big picture thing for the NDL, we want to reshift it and focus it on the group of five and how it impacts them. So that's kind of what the goal is for this podcast. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that, Vic.
No, that was perfectly said. Like I said, we're giving some light to the little guys. We're giving some light to the small schools. They get mentioned here and there, but this is the podcast for the G5 right here.
Yep, all about the little guys, and I love it.
All about it.
This
All
is,
about them.
yep, they are the backbone of the league. A lot of teams that have to be filled, and it's, I'll just be honest, there's a lot of teams that some people may not even know exist. So we got to have those spots filled to keep the league running smoothly. And it is someone that spent a lot of time over my time in the NDL and the group of five, the mid-major conferences. It's actually a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun.
Oh, I can't wait for this year. I know us in the Conference USA, we're gonna be all gas, no brakes, all offense, no defense. I'm already ready for it.
Yep. Strap up. That's how it always goes.
Exactly.
All right. Well, the first topic that we're going to bring up here, I know that everyone's got their polls. I'll be honest, I have not done mine yet, but I will do mine tonight.
Oh wow. You haven't done a poll yet? Oh
I tried to wait as long as I could to make sure as many spots were filled and then just make sure I do my due diligence. I did mess up a few polls last season. And since I'm a media member, I need to get it right. So
I did
we're gonna work on that.
I did my poll, I believe Sunday. I did my poll. I pretty much got everything and everybody right where they need to be. Like most of the teams from last year, I followed the season 32 guide mostly, so
Yeah.
mine's is pretty spot on.
I'm prepared. I just haven't submitted it yet. I have it set. I have two separate polls actually. I have one for the power conference teams and I have a separate one for group of five. That way it makes it easier for me not to miss teams. So I have a top 25 for each. Maybe a little much,
Oh,
But that way I can make sure that I'm not missing anyone because I have to go further down the chart to make sure that I've got, 25 spots for each. So it'll make it easier to kind of slot people. Maybe as we get further on in the season, I'll cut it to 20. But that's what I'm going to start with. But
Oh no, I like that. I like that. That's an interesting idea.
yeah. Well, we know one thing for the group of five. There is going to be one playoff spot. We've seen the Sun Belt take it the last couple of seasons. So, given what we have, that's the first thing I want to talk about. Which team, assuming that there's only going to be one spot, which team or teams do you think are in the running for that spot?
The
I'll
team,
give you the first shot.
the teams that I think that are in the running are, of course, Big Z at San Diego State, back-to-back Mountain West champs. He has a hard schedule with Miami and Indiana out of conference, and he's got to play Old Gentee and Boise State, as well as Washington State. So he's going to have a tough road to possibly be undefeated. But another theory of mine, I feel like we're going to have everybody take a loss, at least one loss in the G5. I feel like we're not going to have any undefeateds. If we do, it'll be the next team I'm going to talk about, next two teams I'm going to talk about, actually, which is James Madison in the Sun Belt with Jason, or Chip with Central Michigan. Now, James Madison, they have a somewhat difficult schedule for Sun Belt standards as far as out of conference, but I feel like he's going to dominate in conference. So if everybody has that one loss, then I feel like his loss may be the best loss. As far as Central Michigan, I do have high hopes now that I've looked at his out-of-conference scheduling. I do feel like he has the best chance to go undefeated. He has no power schools. Usually him, he had death row 2 years ago, and now last year he scheduled like a couple hard power four teams. But this year he has no power four schools. He's gone 24-4 with Central Michigan. And there's a lot of new coaches, in the MAC because the MAC got cleared out in the draft. So I feel like those three teams mostly have the best shot at the G5 spot in the CFP.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. When I did the, so for those listening, everyone on the media team had to submit a couple of things, fill out a survey. So who we were picking to finish in the conference championship game in each conference and who wins. The Heisman, and then also we had to pick out our basically make our predictions on the 12 teams that would make the playoffs. Meaning, of course, one of those would be group of five. And I'll be honest, my pick was Central Michigan. I had to sit and think about it for a bit, so I've has definitely had some time to look at it. And Chip is it's his third season with this team. He is a fan and he knows them really, really well. I think that plays into his favor. And what you mentioned earlier about his schedule, he's a madman. But this season he has really scaled it back. Because last season he lost to Kentucky. I believe that was the only loss that he had, and it was an ugly loss, but still. It's Central Michigan against Kentucky. He was fighting uphill from the start in that one, as you would expect. And he ran the table after that. So not having a power conference school on the schedule, definitely a good shot at going undefeated. The two concerns that I would have would be Barkley at Ball State. He had a pretty busy last season, so he wasn't able to play much. But the season before, he had a damn good season and he was in the mix. So I expect him, as if he's playing, that's going to be a really tough game. If he wins that's a big quality win. And then also, again, want to give a shout out to Coach Maverick at Middle Tennessee. I have him as one of the teams that I'm looking at. He had Illinois last season, and for the team that they have, he had a good season in the Big Ten. Definitely had some notable wins early on, a couple of comeback wins. He was able to keep his composure late in games. So now that the playing field is leveled out with the overalls, I'm really curious to see how he looks with one of the, group of five squads. Think at home for Vandy for out of conference. So he does have one P4 matchup. And then he's got matchups against Chip with Central Michigan and then also Boss Ranger at Rice, who had a good season with Ole Miss last season. So if he could win those are two quality wins, and I think he'd be in the mix as well. And I would be remiss, one other team that definitely has to be mentioned, Boise State, Coach Iarock. You got the back-to-back reigning Heisman winner. It's the one thing that's going to be a problem for him. I'll get to that in a sec, but his out-of-conference is going to be interesting. So he's got Tennessee and Coach Vegas. Definitely a tough matchup. He's got them at home. He's got myself at Florida State at home. We know each other well, so really it's just we're going to run the same schemes we always do. Whatever works for one is going to be who wins. And then he's got Nidler at Penn State. He had a close game with him last season at home, so I'll have to see how he does on the road with the HFA. But the big thing for him is San Diego State. Don't know what it is about SDSU, but since Big Z's been there, he's got his number. He's 0-3 against them. The heartbreaking losses last season. He lost in the last minute during the regular season and legit on the last play in the Mountain West title game. So he's got to find a way to break that curse. Maybe getting an out-of-conference win against one of the power schools will help. Just build up that confidence early, and we'll have to see if Jency can get some help from the other skill position players to lighten the load a little bit so he can ice games in the fourth quarter. Any other teams you got, Vic?
No, that's about it. As far as my conference, I can't wait to play Middle Tennessee. Over under total points should be at 65.
I'll
Just to
definitely
let
take that
you
over.
guys definitely take the over on that. I'm excited to play Liberty as well. I beat Liberty last year with the previous owner. So I kind of know what the offense is about and defense is about there. They are a legit G5 school, so I play them at the end of the season, but that's enough about me. Boise State, I don't think he wants to go undefeated personally. I don't know, but he has had heartbreak against San Diego State, and to answer Freak's question there, the debate we had about Notre Dame and all that, Notre Dame is considered a Power Four. UMass and UConn are not. Simple as that. But that's about it as far as the teams.
Yeah, Razorback is definitely right. See him in chat. The Sun Belt Conference. Can we break the streak? That's the question. They've had a representative the last two seasons. Obviously, we know what MC did with Old Dominion last season. And you had ULL and ULM basically playing for that spot in the regular season. Just the winner had to make sure that they took care of business in the conference championship. But we'll see. One, we'll see if Pirate Flag, what he does with Old Dominion, I've been able to see a little bit. And you're right, too. Yeah, Coastal Carolina. For some reason, I thought that was Chip that first season. But yeah, you're right. So we'll have to see. They could have a clean sweep on CF25.
They could. They definitely could. They definitely could. The Sun Belt, somehow the Sun Belt sneaks through, and like I said, with Jason there, that's who I picked in the form. Like I said, I'm a media member as well, and I filled out the form, and that's who I had as my G5 team is James Madison. Because I just feel like Jason's gonna go in there and dominate, but hopefully this year we can we in the Conference USA or in the MAC or in the Mountain West, we can knock out the Sun Belt to take over that G5 spot.
It'll be a fun race to watch. Once we get conference play started, we'll get some of that stuff sorted out, get a little bit more of a clear picture. Well, speaking of the
Indeed.
schedule, let's talk about Block One. I know there's going to be some mid-major games or group of five games talked about on game day, but there was three that I wanted to point out. And since ODU is brought up, we'll bring that one up first. I have three games listed. One of them is ODU at Western Michigan. You've got Pirate Flag taking over for MC at Old Dominion. You've got Chill Chill over at Western Michigan. So ODU, it's you're coming in, you're trying to live up to this pedigree now. MC went undefeated, had a hell of a run in the game against Georgia, and now you're starting over with the new coach. How will he look? Will he run a similar system, offensively, defensively? We'll have to see. Usability, we'll have to see. And then Western Michigan, just getting started this season. They went 500 last season. So seeing if they can get off to a good start definitely would be a good quality win in the group of five, being able to knock off the team that was just in the playoffs. The number two, the game that I look forward to the most on this list, Marshall at Memphis. You got Sergeant Lingus coming back with Marshall after going 7-6 last season. So he's familiar with the team, decided to stick around, build that camaraderie with his little digital players. And then you've got Shady Nasty at Memphis. Went 500 last season. And let's not forget, 2 seasons ago, he was coaching Cincinnati and had a 9-win season with them. So put together a solid record the last couple of seasons. Memphis is a really talented team in the AAC. I'd argue, you could argue, are they better than Tulane? From a talent perspective, I think it's pretty close. You'd have to add East Carolina in that conversation as well. But being able to get Marshall at home, getting a win right away to start the season against a quality opponent would be a good start for them for sure. Oh, you have anything to add to that, Vic?
The two games I really have are Middle Tennessee, week one. Middle Tennessee, we talked about them in the last segment there. Middle Tennessee goes against Charlotte. Now, Charlotte is another team that definitely impressed me in the Beefy Cup. This is going to be probably the only mention of Beefy Cup here on this podcast this week, but Charlotte put up 66 points in their Beefy Cup game. That is a lot of points.
66. Jeez.
66 points in their Beefy Cup game. So that is gonna be a wild one. So I am very tuned in for that matchup. Not only because it's a conference game of mine, opponent of mine, but I just want to see the Charlotte user play. I haven't really seen, I just seen the score. I didn't really see him play, so I'm excited to see him play. The other one goes with my pick, and that is James Madison versus Jeff Daddy, Cheap Hono,
Yep.
and Hawaii in week one. Hawaii is known for that passing. Jeff Daddy led the NDL in passing 2 seasons ago. And this is Jason's prove it game right here. You gotta prove that you're not gonna let one slip away. So you got to come out there and be dominant from week one. Now, week two, he has NC State, and that's homie, I believe.
Yes,
Let me
sir.
see. Yes. Yes, that is homie. So he has to set the tone here in week one to go ahead and go through week two as well. So those are the few games that I have scheduled in block one that I'm interested in as far as G5 wise.
That'll be a good one. Yeah, if Jason can get off to a good start going 2-0 with that. A win against Hawaii, a potent passing offense, so definitely get that secondary tested out right away. And then NC State and the Power Conference team, a win against a P4 team. That'll be a Q1 or a Q2 win when we look at things at the end of the season. So when you have those
Exactly.
opportunities, you got to take advantage of it.
Exactly. I feel like with any G5, when you're scheduling, you don't necessarily have to schedule all high ranked or ranked teams as far as P4 teams, but I feel like you need that one. I feel like you definitely need that one P4 game that can set the tone for your whole season.
Yep, I definitely agree. One last game I want to bring up. Boss Ranger and Randog. How they played the last couple of seasons. If any, I don't know if you remember, but Boss Ranger is the son of Randog, the track
Yes,
star
he
of the
is.
NDL. And so far on this year's game, kudos to the kid. He's 2-1 against his dad. So I'm really high on Rice to start the season. I saw him at Ole Miss. I got to watch a good chunk of his games. I don't know what it is about
He
Ole
had some
Miss.
heartbreakers. He did have some heartbreaking losses at Ole Miss last season too. I still remember that LSU game. I feel like he, outside of anyone, played Bucknut the closest last season.
Yeah, he played him really close. I'm convinced that Ole Miss is cursed. I'll just put it out there. I'm convinced that they're cursed on this game.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah, so him now he gets to come to the G5 squad, and the overalls are going to be closer. And seeing what he's done with teams with lesser against the Power Conference, because he had Boston College before, I'm really high on him. We'll see how the season gets started, but definitely try to set the tone by beating Dad. So we'll have to see how he gets his season started, but I definitely have my eye on him. I'll be watching.
I'll be watching that one as well.
All right. Conference predictions. So obviously you're high on James Madison, so I'm assuming you have them to win the Sun Belt.
I do have them to win the Sun Belt. I have USF winning the American. I have Liberty li winning Conference USA because of the talent
Okay.
on that squad. And like I said, I did play them previously, so they're the most talented team in the conference. I also had San Diego State winning the Mountain West, and I had Old Chip winning the MAC.
Can't argue with that at all. Cannot argue with that.
What about
Well,
your picks?
I'll start with the MAC because I have Central Michigan. By default, I have to. If I had him making the playoffs, he's got to win his conference to do so.
True,
So
true, true,
we'll
true.
start there. So I had him winning the Mountain West. Or I'm sorry, Mountain West, the MAC. And I'll jump with you over to the Sun Belt. I also have James Madison, and to be honest, when I was trying to pick the team to finish in
Oh.
the, for that playoff spot, he was in the mix for me. So I have him winning, but I'm curious what we'll see with ULL because Ninja Nano, he was able to pull off some upsets with the Power Conference schools. So I'm kind of curious to see how he's going to look with a Group of Five team. Old Dominion, I got my eye on Pirate Flag as well. Like you're taking over a team that just went there. So I got to see him play a scrim. He looks pretty solid. I'm just curious to see how it'll be for him once the lights are on.
True. That's the same thing I was just gonna say. It's all good now, but let's see when the money's really on the line and the lights get bright. Let's see how good this offense is gonna be.
I agree. The Mountain West, this one was tough for me. I feel like I'm biased, but I have like it's this is a good situation for me to be biased in. I'm a San Diego State alum. My best friend is the Boise State owner. So I picked both of them to go to the conference championship. But I think that in this situation, I don't think anyone can really fault me for that. San Diego State's won the conference the last 2 seasons. So he beat Boise last season. He beat the Colorado State owner. The name escapes me at the moment, but he beat him the season before. And then for Boise State, you have the reigning back-to-back Heisman. And while Gentry may not fare as well against the Power Four schools, he's going to be really, really difficult to stop for those lesser talented defensive teams. He's just going to be running over, through, around, and then continuing on his way to the end zone. I've seen it happen a lot. Man, he is a freak of nature on this game. He's a freak of nature. So the question will be, they get to that game, who is going to be able to close the deal? The last two times, it was close late, and San Diego State just made the last play. Is IROC going to be able to overcome it this time? Can he pull away early? What's going to happen? I don't know. I'm going to have to probably say it's one of those situations where you have to show me otherwise. San Diego State showed me that they've been able to get the job done. So until they can't, I have to go with San Diego State. Big Z has done a great job there, and if he does, he's going to be in that conversation for a G5 spot. Conference USA. I feel bad not picking you because I'm doing a podcast
That's all right. That's all right. I didn't even pick myself. I didn't even pick myself. I do not want it to be about me at all. Now I will bring up certain instances where I've played somebody or something like that, but other than that, I will refrain from bringing myself up.
Gotcha. Well, I'm gonna kind of go off of what I said earlier. Coach Maverick at Middle Tennessee. The overalls are closer now. The talent's closer. I've seen what he's did in a power conference with Illinois. He had the big comeback against Nebraska. He scored an upset at the beginning of the season. Like, his offense was clicking. Just when you run into the Ohio States and the Oregons, it's just a whole nother ball game. And he just wasn't able to keep up. So right out the gates, I'm watching him very closely because I want to see how he does with one of the smaller schools. And then the conference I was just in, the last one, the AAC. This is going to be a fun conference. I think you've got Jokers at South Florida. That's who you picked. I was tempted to pick him. I've been high on Rice with Boss Ranger. I was tempted to pick him. But I'm going to have to go with the pedigree. I'm going to have to go with Coach West, SSI at Tulane. I know I just came from there. They've got some talented guys there. He's still not fully sold on them based on our conversation. He's still working through some things, but I think once the lights go on and things start clicking, hey, he's a former champion in this league. He'll get things going with them. They've got a good bunch. He'll figure it out. I think he's going to end up winning that conference. It'll be a fun race to watch because there's a lot of talent in that conference, coach-wise, in my opinion. Got Razorback. You've got Shady Nasty at Memphis. I'd say probably just in terms of overall coaches, it's going to be one of my favorite conferences in the league this season.
It will be a top-notch league. I'm looking forward to that. I like the mix of coaches that have joined the American. I feel like top to bottom, that will be the best conference.
Oh, yeah. Now, one thing that I want to bring up, I didn't really get to touch on this too much with you beforehand, but we've mentioned a lot of teams. It doesn't have to be a team that you think is going to win a conference. It doesn't have to be a team that you think is going to score a big upset. Define sleeper how you would like, but is there a sleeper team that you're watching under the radar in the group of five?
I mentioned to him earlier, Charlotte. I'm thinking that's a sleeper right there, Charlotte. Charlotte is a sleeper. I got my guy Barkley at Ball State. He's a sleeper, like you said. If he can play his games, he's gonna be right there with Chip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course, I got my guys Wobbles and Beer Cop as sleepers in the Mountain West. They like to rag on how bad or how good they are, but they're in a good group right there in the Mountain West. They're in a good group, so I like them surprising some people, being bowl eligible, stuff like that. So that, and as a person who has played with this team on the online dynasty, Okai Shark at App State, I feel like that's a sleeper because App State is a sleeping giant. They have a linebacker. I believe his whole name is Nate Johnson. He transferred to Missouri, I think, for the upcoming game. So he's going to be on Missouri, I believe, in the upcoming game. But in this version of the game, he's on App State. He's a left outside linebacker that is a pass rush specialist that has a top five get off from the snap. I guarantee you, he has a top five get off. And if used right, that defense can be nasty, especially in the Sun Belt.
Well, yeah, I can't
Those are
disagree
my
with you
sleepers.
there.
Those are my sleepers right there.
All right. Well, I'll double down on Barkley because that's definitely that was the first guy on my list. If he gets his games in, let's see him get going. If he does, the MAC is going to be really interesting with the race between him and Chip. So I'll throw out some other names here. One just came out of the AAC, so I got to see what they were like firsthand. East Carolina, they've got a good offense and they have a shutdown corner. And shutdown corners are hard to come by when you start to look at the smaller teams. And
True.
so getting into those games where, if you get a lead and you have to force the other team to pass, it makes it really easy to scheme away on the other side because all you're having to do is scheme on one side of the field. Let your impact corner do his thing on one side, and you're just worried about taking everything else away on the other half of the field. Their schedule, I think Tulsa, in terms of team talent, would be the toughest matchup. So I'll be watching East Carolina to see how they get going. Hey, Pat had a good run with them last season. Razorbacks coming in just off of a good season with Kansas. 8 wins, I believe. It'd be a nice transition. We'll see how he does there. Another team that I'm looking at, just had it here. Let me pull it back up. Sorry. Where's it at? New Mexico, Coach Bearass. OU fan. Had a good run with New Mexico last season. Went into the draft, came back. We know how it is when you go back to a team for another season. The first season, you're just trying to figure out what to do. What kind of offense do I run with these guys? What type of defense am I going to be able to do? What are these players capable of? Now he knows. He's coming back for a second season. So he is more comfortable with the team. I did see in the Mountain West chat, he already feels snubbed that there was no defensive players listed for preseason All-Americans for the conference. So maybe the defense will have a chip on his shoulder. I know the defense isn't rated high, one of the lowest rated defenses on the game. But he had a winning season, and the defense had to play a role in doing that. They've got some talent there. So I'm expecting him to have another good season, and who knows, maybe he pulls an upset in the Mountain West that might shake things up.
The lowest rated defense in the game. I remember that from our Mountain West days.
Ugh, don't remind me. Don't remind me. And then I just want to give a shout out to a coach, something that I thought was really cool, and I don't know if anyone noticed this. Coach Ice. Coach Ice is at Army this season. Do you know who we had last season, Vic?
I want to say he had Navy.
He did. Do you know who he had the season before that? That's the real question.
Oh, I know, because he was in the same conference with us, Air Force.
Yep. The trifecta on this game. He has had all three military schools.
He has.
So I'm hoping that he can have a good season. I know he is frustrated with some stuff with Navy, just some guys not playing up to the way that he thought that they were going to play going into the season. So I'm hoping that he can find some success with Army. And
Well,
let's
he
be
does
honest,
have.
Army is the
He
best
does.
military branch of the three, just throwing it out there.
He does have the strongest team out the three.
I wish him good luck. I thought that was pretty cool when I saw he picked Army. So I was immediately like, wait a minute. All three?
I thought the same
So,
thing.
yeah.
I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, he picked all the military schools.
It's like, I will find one and I will make this one the best. I love it. All
I
right.
love it too.
So now we've pretty much talked mu pretty much most of the group of five for this episode. We got one topic to talk about. We'll try to keep it reasonably short because I'm looking at the time here. We're getting close to 40 minutes. Don't want to go super long. But something that's been
Not
talked about last season, something that's bled over, popped up a little bit this season, but not as much. Oh, there is one other team I wanted to mention. UConn. This takes us
yeah, of
back. This
course.
takes us back to the conversation that we were having in the media chat. I totally forgot about it because that's what I was going to bring up about the whole what is a Power Five school or what's a Power Four school, what's a group of five. It's weird because they're independent, so they're not really tied to either one. But in terms of talent, Notre Dame is clearly they have the talent of a Power Four team. And UConn, UMass, they're just not there. Like, no knock on them, they're just not there. But
And
UConn.
previously they were tied to G5 conferences.
What, UConn was the Big East? I feel like I'm dating
No,
myself. They're probably something before that or after that.
UConn was the American and UMass was the MAC.
Got it. And then Notre Dame, even though independent, tied to the ACC.
Exactly, and probably would go either ACC or Big Ten. Well, they did go ACC during the COVID year. They were a full ACC member.
Yeah. And
So
then
there you go.
they're in the ACC and other sports. It's so weird. They operate independently in football. But then for basketball, they're in the ACC. I've always thought that's weird, but I understand.
For all my football ball knowers, blame Michigan. If you know, you know.
Oh, Michigan. They
Oh,
can't.
Michigan. Blame Michigan. Michigan is the reason why Notre Dame is an independent.
I think it's cool that they're an independent. It just sucks that they can't get a bye, but understandably so. I won't argue for them to get a bye. Yeah, don't blame Freak for that. Yeah, we won't blame Freak. Freak has his own things he has to worry about this season.
No. Don't blame Free. Just blame Michigan.
Yeah, but I do want to mention UConn because it slipped my mind because they're being an independent. I forget about them. I feel bad. But Dave had a great season with them a couple of seasons ago. And he had a linebacker that was good enough statistically to win the Heisman, which is ridiculous. Dude was picking off a pass and a half a game, just everywhere.
That's
And he still
incredible.
had a solid season last year. It clearly wasn't, him being undefeated as he was the season before, but we know Dave can ball. He's a good coach. And we'll see how he finishes out the game cycle for CF25. But now the last topic, the debate. It's been debated in chat. It's been debated some in the media chat as well. And then I'm sure it's been debated in private amongst others as well. All-American versus Heisman. So as I'm sure everyone knows, we're on All-American this season. It didn't change. So the entire game cycle for NCAA is on All-American. I'm sure that'll be revisited once we go to 26. There'll be some downtime before we actually get started. the powers that be will make the decision that's best for the league. I'll give the floor to you first, Vic.
Now, this is a disclaimer.
Yeah, take it wherever you want.
This is a disclaimer. I may say some words that kids may not like. And as most of the NDL know, I am a hot take person, and this may be that segment. I've been pretty chilled and been pretty media savvy throughout this whole podcast, but this is where that kind of ends right here, because I feel like it doesn't matter if it's on All-American or Heisman. You can take that how you want it. Most of my scrims and my blitzes have been on Heisman. I haven't taken that off since we decided to put the NIT and the Blitz in Heisman mode. I haven't taken off yet. I will take it off once the season begins because we're on All-American. Being said that, I know that one of our members, DK, is very adamant about that because of what happened in his playoff game against ODU. And I just want to say, sometimes it's the user, my guy. Sometimes it's the user. MC Marion County is very much like that. You may want to adjust your stuff because Marion County is definitely like that. As far as other teams getting boost or anything like that, you will have outlier games that
No pun intended, of
stuff.
course.
No pun intended. You will have those games that incredible stuff may happen. Like you may drop a lot of passes, or you may fumble more than expected, or you may not have as much touch on your throws sometimes. Sometimes that happens, but that happens on All-American as well. I heard people say about the boost. The boost, I don't really care much for the boost because I feel like the boost are cheating for said players, and most of the players that have boost are with top-notch schools. So if we're already behind the eight ball, since this is a G5 podcast and I'm a G5 coach, if we're already behind the eight ball as a G5 school, that's going to put us even more behind the eight ball against a power four with a team with a whole bunch of boost. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me. I don't give a shit about All-American or Heisman mode. I can play on either one. I don't care. I play all of my online dynasties in Heisman mode. So I really don't care. But the fact that it's been such a debate and people are all up in arms about it because of one thing or the other. And in this case, like I said, DK being all up in arms because ODU may have had a couple of advantages that they may not have had on Heisman mode. At the end of the day, it's EA. If EA wanted to have ODU have advantages, they don't care which mode you're in. Heisman mode ain't gonna change what EA decides is it wants to do for that game.
Oh man, EA definitely plays a very interesting. We all know EA can make va games very interesting for reasons that are unknown until you start
Exactly.
the game. Well, I'm gonna be on the opposite side here for different reasons. I'm actually pro Heisman. I have no issues whatsoever with us playing on All-American. We've talked about it in chat a bunch over the last month. I can't put a timestamp on it, but I know it was a popular topic for a bit. I don't think it's as well. How would I put it? I would prefer we play on Heisman because, in terms of the players, you have abilities. Obviously, talking about boost, you have the abilities, and a lot of the players with boost or abilities, sorry, well, interchangeable in my opinion. A lot of the players with abilities are going to be on not just on Power Conference teams, but even backups. This is the first season that I've played with a Power Conference team on the game, outside of playing an online dynasty with buddies. And it was shocking to me. Like, I have abilities everywhere. Whereas when I had New Mexico, you got a player with an ability and you just want to hug him because you're happy that he has something extra to help you out. You have those are more frequent on the Power Conference teams. Hell, you have it with backup players as well too. So not like we really have to worry about injuries, but when you're talking about trying to scheme stuff up, it gives you an opportunity to take a player off the field because maybe you have a backup player that might fit that situation a little bit better. You don't really get to do that with a group of five team. You're just putting your best player out there and hey, whatever you have, whatever you can do, just do it. We can't afford to pull you off the field because the player behind you is a lot worse. I think the thing for me, the biggest thing that I took out of the conversation is in terms of picks and teams being able to keep teams, I think that's what I got out of it most. I think for me, the biggest, if I had a resistance to changing the Heisman, my biggest resistance is we've had 3 seasons of playing on essentially the same system and setup. So, as someone that has had, I started out with Western Michigan. I went from Western Michigan to New Mexico. I went from New Mexico to Tulane. I had a top pick going in. Obviously, I was looking for a couple of other teams. They weren't there. I came back to a group of five, but the system that we have in place playing on All American. If we want to look at it just, collectively as a system, I was able to benefit off of it and get and capitalize to get a top pick. It would be weird. I would feel bad. I mean, it's not my decision, but I would feel bad if say, hey, I got Florida State now, and then now we're switching to Heisman, and now because we're on Heisman, I have a better team because of the system that was in place. I was able to capitalize on the season that I had and get a good team versus if someone lost the team. I don't want to pull out any particular names, but if you had a top team on the game and you had a bad season and you lost, I feel like you're being penalized even more because now the system is harder. So it's harder for you to be able to have a good season and turn that into a top pick to get back up to that level. I know we've done it in the past. It's not the first time that we've switched difficulty in the middle of a game cycle, but that was my personal biggest pushback. But as someone with a Power Five school for the majority of this game cycle, one thing I do know is I definitely have felt the moments of being overwhelmed playing against certain teams, New Mexico against Notre Dame. That was, let's just say, an experience. Just a couple of weeks ago, playing Tulane, who is a pretty solid ranked G5 team, playing against Miami. It was definitely an experience. Like, it took a me running a kickback off of a block or running a blocked field goal back. It took a really fluky animation play for me to be able to break a big score on, which I shouldn't have. And I still was outclassed. Like, Miami just had more talent. I feel when you're trying to play up in terms of team talent, there's a couple things that have to happen for you to be able to stay in the game. You have to be able to scheme better because there's going to be some limitations into what you can do in terms of the players you have. You have to be able to impact the game yourself very well because, let's be honest, we're all playing a video game. Ratings do matter. We know that. But the player that you control is always going to be the most dangerous player on the field, you hope, because you're able to either take a bad player and make him great, or a great player and make him bad. So that is something that has to be factored into. Team talent is certainly one thing. but the user's impact on the game is going to make a difference for good and for bad. It's an interesting experience. If you haven't been had that shoe on playing against a much tougher team, let me tell you should try it. At least try it in a scrim, maybe not in an actual OOC game, but it is definitely an experience. I've got it a couple times in the cup, got it in the NIT, and I've had it in some scrimmages as well. Man, some of those games, being on both sides, having a good team and having a bad team, it's when things go bad, you might as well just wrap it up.
I agree. I agree. I've had those circumstances being a G5 in scrims or blitzes or anything like that. It can be overwhelming. You do want to chew clock immediately. It's part of the reason I don't ever want to play Big Mike ever again.
Oh, come on. Big Mike's fun to play
No, no,
against. He
no,
really
no,
is. He
no. I'm
really
not doing it.
is.
I'm not doing it. I don't care how you slice it. I'm not doing it. But I'd like you say, I agree with you. I'd rather play on Heisman because I basically play everything else on Heisman. So.
Yeah, in my opinion, just overall, I think the game plays better on Heisman. Like, I understand why we play on All-American. It's just for me, changing a game, the middle of the game cycle. Like, if we're going to play on Heisman, if we did it from start to finish, I'd be cool with that. I just feel it could definitely leave some people, and some people won't take it personal for sure, but some
Yeah.
people may feel some kind of way, like, man, I got a good team. We're playing on All-American. It does mean no, it'd be better for me, say if I had just throwing a random team like Ohio State. If I had Ohio State, definitely would be better for me to play with them on Heisman as opposed to All-American. But if
True.
me getting Ohio State, was on All-American and then we're switching to it on Heisman, it's like it's helping make it harder, a little harder for me to lose my team. And that's just kind of how I felt about the change. Like, yeah, if we're gonna play on the Heisman, like, so next year, I would advocate for Heisman. I'll definitely help do research, whatever that may be, playing scrimmages, keeping tabs on stats while other people play scrimmages. I definitely would be happy to do that. I would just prefer that we stay on one difficulty the whole game cycle. So I feel like it keeps a level playing field for all the coaches.
I agree, and if anybody wants to play on Heisman, if they have a little, if they're a little weary or a little scared of playing on Heisman, I would love to play you on Heisman. It doesn't matter to me. So I'll make that comfort feel good for those players that don't want to play on Heisman or that are a little scared to play on Heisman. It's not that much of a big deal. To me, like I said, it's not too much of a difference. Like you said, those boosts and abilities, they do come more handy, but they just play more like real life, like the real life version of them. Once it becomes on Heisman difficulty, if you do have an ability, they just play more like them, like they would in real life.
We'll have to see what happens for the next game cycle. That's pretty much the big topic we wanted to touch on outside of, the talking, like, getting the season started for the group of five. And especially because the group of five, it's a relatable topic because upsets, whether it's in the Beefy Cup or whether it's during the regular season, it's always going to be a conversation that comes up when a small school is able to knock off one of those big schools home or away. How would that game have played out if it was on Heisman? So, just wanted to touch base on that, and we'll see what happens for next year's game cycle with the powers that be. Well, Vic, that's all I got in terms of topics, things to talk about. Anything you want to add? Chat, I know you're out there lurking. Anything you guys want to add as well?
Nothing for me to add. We've basically covered everything we needed to cover.
All right. Well, I'll give a minute to see if anyone wants to chime in from chat. But going forward, as I said at the very beginning of this, we're going to be keeping an eye on the group of five teams. So I didn't really mention anything in terms of them playing power conferences in their out of conference, but we'll be watching that. Once we start getting games played, it'll be a little bit easier to kind of see where we're headed. I'll probably have a power ranking since I'm having a top 25 for the group of five teams. So I'll have a power ranking so we can keep tabs on who's moving up, who's moving down as we get further along.
We definitely need a top 10 G5 power ranking. We definitely do.
We'll get in
We
some games
definitely
played.
need
We'll
that.
definitely help with that. We'll keep an eye on the standings. If we see any major performances, we'll keeping an eye on that as well. I'm going to be part of the NDL, ESPN, so to speak. Big Red and Jokers have been doing the podcast. Hopefully, you've been able to listen. I've been able to listen to those episodes. I will be taking care of the highlight portion. So while they're doing the podcasting, I will be taking the highlights. Thank you, Block. Give a shout out to him before I forget. He has this nice competition up, submitting pictures, submitting highlights for your games could win you $100. So anytime you play a game, snap a picture, clip from YouTube, clip from Twitch, even if you're a viewer, if you're not playing in the game, send those in. It's super, super helpful. They'll be going in the NDL Hall of Fame. But also, I would appreciate it because it'll make my life a lot easier because I'm going to have to grab highlights from all these games. So it would make my life
Definitely.
much easier if you did. And obviously, with this podcast, I will be heavily focused on the group of five to try to make sure that I can show them some love. So definitely do that. That's all I got. Vic, thanks for dealing with my tech issues. And hopefully,
Oh, it's
things will
all
start
good.
out smoother next week.
Things will be much smoother next week. No problem.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.